We don't look to the Anne Voss camps and the Beth Moores of the world for what it means to be a Christian woman.
Adrienne Dorheinz talking about her presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We look first to Jesus, and his word tells us that a godly woman is marked by things like repentance and piety, humility and grace. And ultimately, this kind of woman lives a really full life in faith. She has Christ's name on her, she receives all the blessings he has to give, and she rejoices in those. That's what the life of a baptized woman looks like, and that's who the Lord has created us as his daughters to be.
You can meet and hear Adrienne Dorheinz, Making the Case for Biblical Womanhood, Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois.
But have you ever asked God for forgiveness? I'm not sure I have. I just go and try and do a better job from there. I don't think so.
Do not be taken in by this man. We have seen demagogues before. They all behave in the same way. It's easy answers to serious problems. It's exploiting people's fear.
The Sola Scriptura is not only that God's word is our only source of truth, but is also that God's word is our only source of life.
You'll never find God unless you find him in the brutalized body on the cross and ask yourself, why does this all need to happen just this way?
Chaplains deployed to Washington, D.C. absolutely love Issues Etc.
Well, I know what it looks like from the perspective inside the United States. This presidential election started out looking a lot like every other presidential election, except that there was a billionaire playboy slash businessman also running. But we've had odd presidential candidates before. Now it just looks strange. Everyone, including those who are cheering on the presumptive nominees for both parties, everyone's scratching their heads. What has happened to American politics, in particular, American presidential politics? That's the perspective from inside. What does it look like from outside, from our European allies? We're going to get a European conservative's perspective on the 2016 presidential race here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, April the 1st. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Dr. Ken Cherb joins us for the 17th part of our weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation today, the roots of the sacramentarian controversy. It's a long word. It just means, it's rather deceptive too, it just means those who deny the bodily presence of Christ in the Lord's Supper and are still of the Reformation ilk. We'll be talking about that with Dr. Ken Cherb. Then, Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. We've got four sound bites we've laid out for you. We'll play them for you in about an hour and a half, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. And your votes will decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Joining us for a European conservative's perspective on the 2016 presidential race, Uwe Simonetto. He's a regular guest, international journalist, and former religious affairs editor for United Press International. He's founder and director emeritus of the League of Faithful Masks and the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and he's author of the books Triumph of the Absurd and The Fabricated Luther. Uwe, welcome back to Issues Etc.
I'm happy to be back.
You have been covering presidential races as long as I have been alive, since 1964, beginning
right,
with Johnson versus
Johnson. Yeah.
Give us your perspective after having seen 50-plus years of presidential
races.
Well,
I can give you my perspective, Todd, and I can also give you the perspective of, I have to qualify that, conservative Europeans. I am in touch daily. I have many telephone calls with friends in high places in Germany and in France, and we are all aghast. And we the tendency is to really affirm what John Adams said, that ultimately all democracies commit suicide. We are witnessing this here. I've never seen anything like it. They have never seen anything like it. I would like to, if you allow me, to put a theological perspective on this. Obviously, the friends I'm talking to in Germany and in France are practicing Christians, either Roman Catholic or Protestants, Lutherans mainly. A theological perspective is this. According to Luther, the power, authority in the world is given to us by God, according to Luther and according to Paul, Romans 13. The sovereign in this country, in a democracy, is the voter. The voter has to act, from a Lutheran perspective, according to the reason given to him by God to find himself around this world. Reason being the empress of all things in the world. The voter has to inform himself before making a decision about, in this case, not just the United States, but the future of the whole world, because the United States happens to be the most powerful nation on earth and the only leader around. The voter is not doing this. Those voters who run, like the Germans in the 1930s, after a demagogue. I'm not comparing Trump to Hitler now, because we don't know what Trump is going to do if he's elected president. But I'm now attacking directly the American electorate, because they do not do their job. They do not function as the sovereign should, according to Romans 13. So if they and why don't they do this? Because they are not getting the proper information. One reason is the degradation of the American school system, educational system. The other one is the journalistic malpractice committed in this country on both sides of the aisle, both liberal and conservative. It is a malpracticing practice bordering on high treason. Because the Americans, I've got an email this morning from a very highly placed scholar, political scientist, working for a major American think tank, who read a copy of my article on this, my recent column on this. And she said she cannot actually get any information about what's going on in the rest of the world from the American media. She has to go to Al Jazeera. I told her, well, you can actually also go, you get this on PBS. I do this. Deutsche Welle, English program, French television, English program, the BBC and NHK was a Japanese program. And then you get an approximate idea of what's going on in the world in English. If, of course, you can read other languages like German or French, you get a much wider scope. I mean, I get every morning hot reports from the battlefields of Iraq and in Syria and other places, from correspondents out there. But these news outlets don't have any correspondents there. They have pretty women with glistening thighs opining on anything and everything, you see. It's ridiculous. And that is actually the danger. And the Europeans, I've talked to a former German ambassador to Washington, Paris, and London. And he said, we have to venture on ourselves. We fear we've lost our friends. Now, these are conservatives. These are not your stupid, brainless, anti-American liberals or left-wingers that we have plenty of in Europe. We're talking about your friends here.
You know, and I just want your reaction to this. There is a rather virulent strain of, we don't need to know about the rest of the world. Unless, of course, it impacts us, okay? So the Brussels attack there. How many Americans were killed? That's really the only thing that the media's
We had that from Vietnam, yeah. I was there.
So what's your perspective on that kind of American attitude, which is, you know, why would we want to know what's going on in the rest of the world?
It's hugely dangerous. I mean, this is only people who do not know history and their own even recent history would make such statements, because, of course, it matters. It matters. I mean, when Obama withdrew the troops from Iraq and therefore became the patron saint of ISIS, which he did. He actually launched ISIS in doing that. Probably not deliberately, but I mean, nevertheless did. Who are the recipient ends? Then you had a stream of refugees coming to Germany, 1.1 million, and the Americans can't even cope with 10,000 here. And a little Germany the size of Montana has to take 1.1 million Syrian refugees. Of course that matters. And obviously among those bona fide refugees, I was once a refugee. I was a refugee from communism. I know exactly what it feels like. I feel very strongly in favor of these people. But among them, obviously, are bad acts. And it only takes a handful, and you have what you have you get what you had in Paris and Brussels and elsewhere. And that obviously will ultimately have its consequences for the United States, not just that terrorists might enter this country, but you might actually get ultimately a nuclear attack on the United States brought in by ISIS, or a cyber attack, and any of these things, all of which, I mean, are highly probable. And to close your eyes to that is absolutely goofy. It's unfathomable. And the other thing is to believe that America could live without friends, that America could antagonize others, like the Mexicans, or like the Latin Americans, like the Germans. I mean, in Germany, Germany, which used to be fervently pro-American, has turned against America because we get all these news reports. We watch Fox. We watch CNN in Germany. We get all this nonsense all the time and all the time and all the time. And the general opinion about this, conviction about this, America's gone crazy. It's lost its roots. It's lost its foundation. It's lost its calling. And its calling was to give to the world something very special, which it's no longer getting. Instead, she has become so destructive because of an ill-informed public. That's the main problem. And the public is ill-informed because the media are not there. And the media used to be the best. I was trained by the Associated Press. I worked for the Associated Press 58 years ago. That's all gone. All these qualities are gone. And that is immensely dangerous, and these people don't seem to realize what they're doing.
Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We'll take a break when we come back on this Friday afternoon, April the 1st. Continue with a European conservative perspective on the 2016 presidential race. Then Dr. Ken Cherb will join us for part 17 of our weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. Today, the roots of the sacramentarian controversy. Stay tuned. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a story about one man's journey from death row executioner to Lutheran pastor. It's titled The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace. You can check it out at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Executioner's Redemption is on sale for $12.99. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, The Executioner's Redemption.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana, Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee, and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're getting European conservatives' perspective on the 2016 presidential race. So before the break, you kind of outlined the mess, part of the reason that the United States is in the fix it is in. Let's get a little more particular to this current race. Many people have kind of attached so what it sounds like you're saying, Uwe, is that the problem pre-existed Donald Trump. Donald Trump didn't ruin American politics or presidential races.
No, precisely. I mean, he didn't ruin it, but he brought it to a head. I mean, he has brought it to an absurd level. You see, I mean, before that, you had all sorts of agitation, and they're always, by the way, accompanied by these gratuitous swipes against the European allies, which are beginning to bore us now. But you still had competent candidates. Now you have this guy, of whom we know nothing other than generalizing statements and that sort of thing, and very antagonistic vis-a-vis the rest of the world, especially the people who are on America's side and should be on America's side and have been on America's side for the last 70 years, and that is unique. But the problem pre-existed. It started in the 1960s, and if I may have 2 minutes to describe something to you, in the 1960s we had a newspaper strike in New York, 114 days. It killed 15,000 jobs in the newspapers. My publisher then, my German publisher, sent over my editor-in-chief, who was Jewish and had seen. The destruction of the free German press, German language press, in the 1930s. And he had to flee to London, came back, started the Springer Forum News Service. And he came over to follow the development of the media in this country. His name was Julius Hollosch. And then after 3 weeks, when he'd done the study, watching television, analyzing the behavior of this new breed of media stars that had not existed in his day, before flying back to Germany, he said, Uwe, accompany me back to my hotel. And I know he put his hand on my shoulder. He was an elderly man. And I was very young then, of course, and he said, had tears in his eyes, a big, hulking guy, tears in his eyes, and he said, Uwe, what I'm seeing is a repetition of what I've seen in the 1930s. He had been a cultural editor of Prager Tagblatt, which was the number one German-language newspaper. It was German-language newspaper of Prague, but actually the best German-language newspaper in the world. And he said, I've seen it before, and I'm seeing it now. Journalism is committing suicide, and with that, democracy will go. Unfortunately, he wasn't a believer. He ultimately committed suicide because he said he couldn't stand the notion of yet another dictatorship that and horror that he had witnessed as a young man. That was very sad. I never forget this. I'm watching what is going on, have been watching what's going on in this country, in the media, in this world, since the Vietnam War, and we've discussed all this before. Every day, I think of Julius Hollerich walking back to the Ritz Hotel in New York, telling me with tears in his eyes that he'd seen a repetition, he could foresee a repetition of what he had experienced as a young journalist in Europe before Hitler came to power.
So the comparisons have been made in terms of the demagoguery because, and I'm going to just put all the cards on the table here. I believe that there is a comparison to be made both with the tactics and with kind of the general political philosophy of Donald Trump with past fascist leaders. You don't have to single out Adolf Hitler. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is going to exterminate, try to exterminate Islamic or Arabic people. I'm not saying that he's going to engage in some kind of pogrom or something like that, or a coup of the government. But he seems to be so lacking in basic knowledge about how U.S. government works and kind of making up what he's going to do as president as he goes along, which is extremely indicative of totalitarian fascism. What are your thoughts?
Yes, it is that. But as I said before, what troubles me even more is that he should be in this place in the first place, that the people called by God, we are Christians here, called by God, according to Romans 13, to be sovereigns of their nation, do not exercise any controlling function and put a guy like this in. That is the troubling part. I mean, I keep telling my American friends this all the time. You guys are committing precisely the same mistake that my grandparents' generation did in Germany by not being out, not keeping your eyes and ears open, by not informing yourself properly, by making excuses, by saying, well, it won't be quite that bad. I mean, all of these people, very, very few Nazis really in Germany in the 1930s. Most people thought, well, Hitler was going to be, or in Italy, Mussolini was going to be just fine. He can be kept under control by a parliament. Because all of this is the truth. You can see now on television. I mean, just watch Fox. One by one by one, those commentators who should all actually disappear and leave room for reporters doing a credible job. But anyway, one by one, they're falling in line. Or more and more. Some of them, of course, are thankfully still warning about this. But it is unfathomable how a nation, given this wonderful constitution, given this wonderful history, given this by God, I believe, the responsibility to be leading the world, the free world, how they just throw out all these good things like a half-eaten donut or half-eaten hamburger. Boom, throw it out in the garbage. And that is what is happening here. And I'm just hoping that in the Midwest things will improve a little bit. But what I've been watching now, and I'm telling you, people sit in Berlin and in Paris and in London and elsewhere, and they watch American television and say, what on earth has happened to our friends? Have they gone totally out of their mind?
What do you make of the popularity for a socialist like Bernie Sanders? You've got a couple minutes here, Uwe.
Well, it's the same thing. Uninformed. It's enthusiasm. It is uninformed public. They're usually young people. They don't know anything. They have not been taught what it was like to live under socialism. Here they vote for a guy who spent his honeymoon in the Soviet Union, which at the same time was threatening to bombers with nukes and would send its best people, those they hadn't killed, to gulags. And mindlessly they follow him. It is the same phenomenon, except it's another generation. And it's another educational level. And here is an educational level that has been informed by what I believe, again, a treasonous weed of teachers and university teachers, training them all in of left-wing garbage. So, in fact, it's the counterpart of the Trump phenomenon. It's the same thing. And yet, you have alternatives. I mean, you have decent people like Kasich or Jeb Bush or Lindsey Graham, all wonderfully competent leaders, and they don't get their voice into the media sufficiently because the media are totally entertainment oriented and no longer doing their jobs as journalists. And that is, of course, what will ultimately, I believe, destroy democracy unless something very drastic happens to remedy this thing. We've heard it in Europe.
You have.
And that's the fact where the analogy is. Not that an analogy Trump-Hitler, it's an analogy public-public.
With about a minute here, you have reported extensively on socialism. What in a nutshell do Americans need to know about it?
Well, first of all, that it is a false religion. It is a religion, socialism, at least Marxism-Leninism, is a religion. It's a false religion that does not correspond to either what we as Christians call faith, nor does a religion without faith. It's just a false belief. Nor does it correspond or does it gel with practical reason, because it doesn't function. It leaves out the most important element of any ideology, and that is the human being whom it intends to govern. And it cannot govern, of course, with a false structure like that. And as a result of that, it destroys freedom. It destroys the freedom of expression, the freedom of political choice, and it will ultimately destroy the economy. We've seen this in the Soviet Empire. We've seen this in especially in Germany. Just compare West and East Germany at the time, and it's going to happen here. But I don't believe you're going to have a socialist thing. You're going to have something much worse, because a socialist thing can ultimately be remedied. But you're going to have a generalized mindlessness, which, of course, is very hard to remedy.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is an international journalist and former religious affairs editor for the United Press International, founder and editor emeritus of the League of Faithful Masks and the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, author of the books Triumph of the Absurd, and The Fabricated Luther. You can purchase these books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Uwe, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks very much, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Ken Sherb in part 17 of our series with him on Martin Luther and the Reformation. We'll talk about the beginning of the sacramentarian controversy.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Larry Rast, Carl Fakencher, Brian Wolfmiller, Adrian Dorheinz, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Jonathan Fisk? You're invited to the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.